For All Things Considered, I'm Ricky Bevington. This is Georgia Public Broadcasting. The public hearings in the House impeachment inquiry have shed light on the United States Foreign Service. It includes about 15,000 Americans stationed overseas, many without their families. Former Ambassador Thomas Pickering was the top diplomat to El Salvador under President Ronald Reagan. George H.W. Bush appointed him ambassador to the United Nations and Israel. President Bill Clinton sent him to Russia. He joins me in the studio to reflect on last week's testimony of former U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, Marie Yovanovitch. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, and it's a delight to be here.
Do you think that Americans have a better understanding of the role of an ambassador after her testimony?
Perhaps, because the American understanding of the role of ambassadors is pretty limited. Very few schools teach much about this. And ambassadors have a glorious title, but are kind of remote from the public unless they get a chance, as we often try to do, to speak around the country about the things we're engaged in. And that's usually the people who already know who come to those meetings and want to be part of understanding what's going on from the point of view of an American ambassador. So the notion that not only in American television, but with, I think, a rather large audience, but all around the world, people got an opportunity, given the importance of these hearings, to see and hear from a number of American ambassadors about how and in what way they served and how and in what way they conveyed the importance of what they were doing to the people in the Congress was, I think, in many ways, if it weren't for the individual pain, an unusual opportunity.
With the federal government and particularly the Foreign Service being so roundly criticized, why would young people want to go into public service?
It's amazing. Young people will come to public service out of an interest in serving their country rather than making money. So not everybody's cup of tea. But it is, in that sense, something which continues to draw between 15,000 and up to 20 or 30,000 people to the examination process to enter, out of which normally 300 to 400 are selected each year. And so it is a highly competitive service. It is a distinct service from the general American civil service, in a sense like the military. We go where we are sent. We have to, in one way or another, do what they ask us to do, and we go to dangerous and unhealthy and difficult places. About 800 of us now currently serve without our families overseas, and that introduces another special hardship, but that's for security reasons. But the rewards are not monetary. The rewards are psychic. Can you help an American in trouble? And I always thought that was a reward in itself. Can you help an American business establish a relationship and become an investor and profitable in a foreign country? Can you suggest to the American foreign policy establishment changes in foreign policy that will better accord our relationship with the country where you're working? And those are interesting and challenging requirements.
Given the potential risk of an ambassador representing not the interests of the American people, but of private interests, whether personal interests or, as we're discussing, the re-election campaign of a sitting president, should ambassadors no longer be appointed?
Ricky, that's a very interesting question. I believe ambassadors should be appointed for all the reasons I said at the beginning of our program. Personal representation of the United States, deep contact with the local leadership and where they were headed. And I think that in an interesting way, ambassadors, like the military, are bound to accept lawful orders. But they must distinguish, as the military must, between orders that are not lawful. And there are laws about, one way or another, inveigling foreign countries to support partisan politics in the United States. And we have to be familiar with those laws. And we have to understand that, particularly if a back channel is set up by a president to operate in a way that is not in American interests, then they have a responsibility to call attention to that. And we have whistleblower statutes to protect people who are able to take that responsibility on their shoulders and to do so. And so this is part of the checks and balances of a vital democracy, which is what our country is and should be. And we're now seeing it play out in the highest level in a very interesting set of ways. And I've had my colleagues from the Foreign Service begin to make clear to the American public that they have this capacity to distinguish between lawful orders and what is the policy, and the apparent effort to use the system and the approach and the office for personal gain. And the fundamental definition in America of corruption is the misuse of public office for private gain. And we have very strict regulations on that, and we teach people about it, and they know and understand. So they have to come at this on a moral basis, and that's not easy, and particularly if you're personally attacked by the President of the United States.
Are you satisfied that the laws are strong enough so that any ambassador in any situation will know crystal clear what is and isn't legal?
No. And ambassadors often are not trained lawyers. And often trained lawyers cannot substitute for judges. And often judges have different views. And so this is not an easy thing. And it's not what one would call a slam dunk or a simple discernment. But over a period of time, we rely on people, particularly in ambassadorial jobs, in everything they do, whether it's dealing with their own employees, dealing with the American public, dealing with the foreign government, to understand the values and principles of the United States, and particularly those that have been translated into legislation. And perhaps as a result of this, we should be doing more. But I'm absolutely pleased that the key individuals that have been in one way or another involved with this have brought before the Congress in private and in public their understanding of what you and I would consider to be support for the values and the moral arrangements that are necessary to run a great democracy.
Ambassador Pickering, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Ricky, very much. It's a great pleasure and honor for me.
Thomas Pickering has served as United States Ambassador to six nations.